This podcast on Sports360AZ.com is brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers. We appreciate the Valley Hyundai dealers and their support.
Now, the Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Did you see where the Dodgers lost again last night and the Diamondbacks won? Dodgers are just not good. And I'm leading with this today because we're less than 2 weeks away from the wild card game. And I think all of us are assuming that with Zach Greinke throwing in the wild card game, assuming that's the way they go, I can't imagine it being anybody other than Greinke or Robbie Ray. And with Robbie Ray's dominance of the Dodgers this season, why would you throw him in the wild card game? Whether it's Milwaukee, whether it's Colorado, and some people still think St. Louis is going to work into the wild card. But the Dodgers keep stinking this up, and I'm really excited to see how this plays out, because we can all say, well, the Dodgers, yeah, they've been bored with the whole thing or this or that. It's been about a month now where they've not been good. And you can't just flip switches. It's kind of like this. Paul Goldschmidt, if you go look at Paul Goldschmidt's numbers here in about the last week, they're not good. And if you want to be hitting on all cylinders, there's a big time cliche, but if you want to be playing your best baseball, I'd like to see Paul Goldschmidt here in the next week get it together. Whether it's this weekend against Miami, the fact that Giancarlo is going to be in town and Giancarlo is going for the home run record, in my mind, the home run record of 61. In my mind. Some of you will say differently than that. But I'd like to see Goldschmidt get going. Conversely, the Dodgers just aren't good. And so 2 weeks from now, we're going to know if they've moved on and are playing the Dodgers in the first round. It's going to be Cubs and Nats. And there'll be the one-game playoff and the Diamondbacks against whomever. And they'll meet the Dodgers. And that's how it's going to play out here in the playoffs. We're 2 weeks away from it. Last night, 9 more home runs. 9! And J.D. Martinez hits another one out, and the Diamondbacks crush San Diego. San Diego beat the Diamondbacks head-to-head in the season series this year. I have no idea why, and the Padres have actually played better. They were awful at the start of the year. I mean, just not good. Like, Andy Green's going to get fired like every guy before him's going to get fired. Not good. And last night, again, in the middle innings, they're putting up a bit of a fight, but the Diamondbacks just crushed them, and now their magic number is down to 4. Magic number of 4 today, and the team is off today. So think about this. Magic number 4, Colorado at San Diego tonight. Magic number 4, meaning they're going to clinch at home. And the celebration of a team that goes through 162 games and makes the postseason. Like last night, watching Archie Bradley round the bases, it wasn't him on the mound. His ERA is like 0.3. I was listening to Tom Candiotti last night coming back from an event, and he was going into the numbers of how dominant Archie Bradley has been in the second half of the season. He's absolutely dominant. And then he gets to the plate and smokes one, and he ends up over at third base, and the dugout goes crazy. And fans here love that stuff. Who doesn't love to see a pitcher get a triple? Especially where he's being slowed down in the wind by his beard, right? And there's just something about his personality when Archie Bradley's on the field that you can't help but not be gravitated to watch him go. I watch how people react that are not like you and I. You and I, we watch sports most every day. You and I consume sports most every day. I have a fantasy football team. You probably have a fantasy football team. We are into watching this every day. When you have athletes and when you have teams that go outside of that comfort zone and it becomes someone like my wife, who is a sports fan to a point, but she's busy being a mom. She's busy being a wife. When she's like, we have to turn off everything because the Diamondbacks are playing tonight. She doesn't do that with any other sports. She does that a little bit with college football. But she doesn't do that with other sports, really. She's in love with this baseball team. She absolutely loves it. And it's great. They've captured the imagination. So Greinke is throwing tomorrow night. Magic number of four. They're going to clinch here at home. They've got Miami. They've got San Francisco. I can't imagine them crapping the bed and having to go all the way to Kansas City to finish this thing out. They're going to go dive in the pool. They've got to go dive in the pool to celebrate. There's got to be something there. And I've already talked to Jordan. I've talked to Haley about it. It's, you know what? I got the football show. You guys go do baseball and go enjoy this. I've been through it before. It's awesome. Go be at every game. I may go to the game as a fan. I'm caught up in this. I think it's great. It's really what it's all about in sports, local sports. Speaking of which, so last night I went to an event, and we talked about it on the show yesterday. We had Jerry Colangelo on the show yesterday. And last night, Grand Canyon University put on an event that was so first class, so A+, so unlike anything that I've covered or been a part of here in Phoenix in a long, long time. It was a night in which they unveiled the Jerry Colangelo Museum. I think we have some pictures of this. So Jerry's there last night, and I get over there at about 6:20. And I pull up to the valet, and I notice that in front of me, as you see the pictures there of the museum, it was terrific. In front of me are all these former Suns employees, when the Suns and Diamondbacks were the Suns and the Diamondbacks. And it was like old home week. I ran into Paul Westfall last night, and I hadn't seen Paul in a long, long time, former Suns coach. And as I'm walking through the museum, I run into Jerry, and we're talking, and he's like, I have to go talk to this person. And it's an agent. It's Bill Duffy, who is Steve Nash's agent. Bill flew in. PJ Carlissimo was there last night just hanging out. He flew in. There were former Diamond Jay. I saw Jay Bell there last night. Junior Spivey was there last night. Jerry was terrific to visit with. And then they had an event up on stage where some of Jerry's closest friends, and then on the media side, it was Jude LaCava and Dan Bickley spoke. The table I was with last night was Paula, our good friend Paula Bovin, and her husband Jay, and Gary Bender, the long, long-time voice of the Suns, and Pat McMahon and his beautiful wife Duffy. And it was a first-class, high-end, really well-done event last night. And the museum is terrific. We need more of that here in our community. But that costs a pretty penny, one. Two, it was so well done. When you walk onto the campus, and I was talking to Dan Marley last night, I had not been in their new practice facility. Their new practice facility is built right into the museum, which is built right into Dan's offices, which is built right into the arena. And I'm not going to turn this into an ASU U of A thing. All I'm going to say is the people over at ASU that are still of the belief system that Wells Fargo is a nice facility, no, it's a dump. And most people over there know it. You might want to take a trip over and just walk through and see how they did it at GCU. I mean, it's stunning. And I can't see Dan right now going after the same caliber of player. Well, I can see him doing that. I don't know if he's going to get some Pac-12 players, but he's going to make a living off of Casey Benson's. Guys that think that it's really cool to be in the Pac-12, and then, you know what, it's actually better to come back home. They're going to make a living off that. To walk a recruit into that environment last night, there's no way they can get out of there. And you show them the video of the fans that are there. They've already sold out their season tickets. President Mueller got up last night, and we've already sold out. You don't hear that. I mean, you hear that in Tucson, I suppose, with Sean, but this really well done first class, first cabin by Grand Canyon University last night. And it was great for Jerry. It's great to see that. We have Jimmy Vaccaro on the show today. We'll head up to Vegas coming into the weekend. Jimmy Vaccaro will be with us, and then Goody at the Movies. A couple other things to get into on the show today. I'm going to talk about ASU later on in the program with their game coming up, because I'm getting more and more of the, if they lose to Oregon, is that the end of Todd Graham? And we had a pretty passionate conversation with Jeff Van Rapphorst on the show this week, and Rapper's wanting to see patience and not wanting to see the frustration and anger come out as solid and strong as it has. And I don't think you can stop that train, to be quite honest with you. We have U of A to get into, some college football that's on my mind within the conference, and a few other things before we get out of here. But up next, we'll go to Vegas. Jimmy Vaccaro will join us. Jimmy Vaccaro, the view from Vegas on the college and pro football weekend. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. The VISTA Network, I mean, there's great stuff going on there. The South Point, that's where you want to be. Jimmy joins us here for a few minutes. How are you, my friend?
Good, and you are surely welcome anytime you want to, my friend. You and your wife come down here, and the weekend's on Jimmy.
Wow.
I'll never forget that, buddy.
Wow, prime rib, I guess. That sounds...
All right.
It's an awesome place. It's great. Okay, so Dallas, Arizona. This Arizona team, Jimmy, has looked like dog meat the first 2 weeks. No offense to the dogs. They doesn't look good, all right? So I'm just wondering the view in Vegas, Cardinals at home against the Cowboys.
Well, actually, that's going to be the biggest game of the weekend as far as I can, only because the first reason it's Monday night. Second of all, I mean, nobody can figure either one of these two teams out. We surely know that you guys escaped last week with that win over the depleting Indianapolis Colts there in Dallas, and we all saw them getting handed it to them by the Denver Broncos. So, interesting. But I can tell you this, my friend, the Dallas Cowboys opened a 3.5-point favorite, and there has been nothing but an attack on the Arizona Cardinals, plus the 3.5. Most venues in the state now are down to 3. We will get Dallas money only because they're still a marquee team, but your team better step it up real quick or they're going to be in the rearview mirror, my friend. That's all I can tell you.
All right, tonight you've got two teams, speaking of dog meat, 49ers and Rams, but it's Thursday night football, Jimmy. What do you have on 49ers-Rams?
Well, my friend, dog meat, cat food, whatever you want to call it, it's a betting game, it's a betting number, and people love to bet on it. Make no mistake about it. Once again, a huge attack on the L.A. Rams over the 49ers, and we know the 49ers' defense has been pretty good, but I believe San Francisco is one of the only a couple teams that haven't scored a touchdown yet this year. So money on the Rams, and I think it'll be a relatively big decision, us needing the 49ers when we kick off in about 7 or 8 hours.
Jimmy Vaccaro, South Point Resort and Casino. On the college front, we've got Arizona State at home. They've not been very good at 1-2. Oregon Saturday night, the Ducks, one of the surprises this year at 3-0. Oregon, Arizona State, Jimmy.
Well, first of all, you know, Arizona's in dire need of someone stepping up to the plate, and it does look like it's going to be Arizona State. They're a 14.5-point favorite to the Oregon Ducks, and probably one of the higher totals of the weekend. We get there right now. We're at 75. Oregon, 14.5-point favorite. Really nothing but a trickle-in on Oregon, minus the 14.5. Will Arizona State get money? I suppose it will for two reasons. First of all, it's a late Saturday game, and second of all, when you get in these shootouts like this, people like 10 to some degree to take the dog.
And U of A, Arizona plays tomorrow night, a Friday night game against Utah. The Utes have struggled. The Cats have beat them 4 of the last 5 times. Games in Tucson. What's the view in Vegas?
Well, here's what we think about that. You're still an underdog at home to the Utah Utes. That shows you exactly what we think of everything. Although everything considered, what we're saying here is Arizona is in a good position to win being an underdog here. Utah opened a 3-point favorite. There's still a 3. A little money on both sides here. Total 56, but you're on your own, my friend.
Michigan, Purdue, and Georgia, Mississippi State, probably the two most intriguing games from this standpoint, Jimmy. Harbaugh, their offense is 1 of 10 in the red zone conversion this year. That's one of the worst in all of college football. He's feeling it.
Make no mistake about it.
And Purdue's playing pretty well.
No,
and Purdue's playing pretty well too, Jimmy. What's Purdue, Michigan?
Well, Purdue, Michigan right now, as usual, Michigan garners all the early attention. We opened the game 9. We're up to 10. And Purdue has stepped up so far. Michigan, nationally, they played in second gear last week. So we'll see what happens from there. But, and the other game you asked about, my friend, I believe was Florida State or Florida, Kentucky.
Georgia, Mississippi State, actually, Jimmy. Looking at those two teams.
Georgia, Mississippi State, small favorite on Georgia here. Not much action on the game at all, my friend. Nothing really to report.
Okay. And anything else on the college front? Where's the money going this weekend? What are people looking at?
Oklahoma State over TCU. Oklahoma State, we saw exactly what when we bet on or against them. If you're betting against them, you naturally you want to hold them to at least 40 points. Playing a TCU team, the line opened Oklahoma State 12. We are up to 13. That game will touch 14 by Saturday afternoon. Total 71. Oak State, pretty good team, my friend, and they can surely shoot them up.
Have a good weekend, Jimmy. Thanks.
All right, buddy.
Jimmy Vaccaro there, Vegas, South Point Resort and Casino. The view from Vegas. Anquan Boldin is back in the news cycle today. So Anquan Boldin and three other players wrote a 2,490-word document, sent it to Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, wanting a weekend to push social activism at NFL games. So on the surface, when you hear this story of social activism at NFL games, you think for a minute and you look at the NFL ratings this last weekend. NFL ratings this last weekend, in particular, the Green Bay Packer-Atlanta Falcons game, one of the lowest rated Sunday night games in a long, long time. Now, last Thursday night's game, and I talk about dog food, Cincinnati and Houston are just dreadful. Unless you're family and friends of players, why anybody would sit through that slop? But 8 million television sets were viewed to it. Okay, the ratings show it. Ratings don't lie. And people like car crashes too. It's fine. When you start to have a fatigue of a league and you start to push things out there other than just football, if you think about what's been going on with the NFL, what is it we've been hearing about week after week that I've got to sit here and present to you? I'm not going to do, what do you think of the backup left tackle? I'm not doing that. This is the wrong show for you if that's what you want. I'm not giving one rat's about how this player, who's like the last guy on the roster, is going to impact a game on Monday night. I'm not. There just aren't that many people that care. So if you try to just talk about the game itself, if you try to talk about the Dallas Cowboys and what happened last week, the news cycle is all about Ezekiel Elliott off the field, where I would try to point out that Ezekiel Elliott had a horrible game last week because Dallas, I don't know, fell behind. So they couldn't run the football. Let's just talk plain football here. Dallas fell behind big. So when it's, well, Zeke's stuff off the field is impacting him. No, it's not, in my view. It's, if you watch the game, just watch the simple X and O part of it. Denver was blowing them out. This week with the Cardinals in a space without David Johnson once again, and the Cardinal running game is going to be facing a better defense in Dallas and in Indianapolis was horrible, was horrific. Carson showed some things, I thought, in the fourth quarter, but there was more often than not, he wasn't very good. And so I would not be surprised at all if the Cardinals, this is one of those teams. Find a way to win. Find a way to win ugly. You've already had a kicker that's missed two kicks. You might believe in him, but he's already missed two kicks. You have a much better punter than you had a year ago, but anything would have been better than where it was a year ago. Your special teams play, I think, has been cleaned up some, but I don't feel as though it's a game-breaking group. Offensively, you were telling me back in March how John Brown's going to be great and be healthy. He's not. He's not on the field. Jermaine Gresham's hurt. So you go down the line of things with the Cardinals, and it wouldn't surprise me if they got their doors blown off. But this is Cowboys-Cardinals. So on the other side, it wouldn't surprise me if Patrick Peterson makes a play on Dez Bryant or two. The stars come out in the biggest times. Tyrann Mathieu is a star on the team. The Cardinals view him as a star. Otherwise, the decimal point wouldn't be pushed so far down for the extension they gave Tyrann Mathieu. Big games like this is where you do focus on Patrick Peterson, and you focus on Dez Bryant, and you focus on Dak Prescott. Was he very good last week? No, he wasn't very good last week. You focus on the fact that the Cowboys could do what the Colts did last week. Tight end, tight end, tight end. The tight end was a huge part of the Colts against the Cardinals. Can the Cardinals solve that issue? Because it was an issue. Look, I can go up and down on this stuff on the field. But Anquan Boldin, back to the point, and I like Anquan a lot. Anquan is deep. I like it when people are deep, but I think that he's going upstream on this, where wanting social activism at a sporting event, and I felt this way with the Suns. When the Suns did low Suns, when everything was going on in the valley around FB 1070, yeah. When that was going on, I felt that there was an uncomfortableness among fans. I don't care one way or the other. I'm there to be objective and cover it. I'm going to take a stand on some things, but on that, I was just like, okay, it's supposed to be a sporting event. It's supposed to be an escape. If we're going to turn everything into social activism, and that was a long time ago. I just don't know if the NFL is in that space. They may want to be. They may try to be. It feels like this league is always trying to do something else, and they step back and say, well, we're the big, bad NFL. We can do this. I don't know. I'm hearing from people that don't want to see this as much. It's just me. We're going to talk on the other side about Todd Graham, and I've talked about him quite a bit, but I think as we get closer to the game this weekend, it's fair to get into that, a little bit more on the college football side of things. Goody at the Movies right around the corner as well. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. I'm Brad Sismat. Let's think back to the Jimmy Vaccaro segment there. The total for the ASU-Oregon game is 75. Wow, that's a... But I think Oregon's going to get through that. That's an interesting line to me. And 40-35 type of game. Can I see that game going 42-37 something, take the over? Sure, I could. Justin Toscano is in for Eric. Justin was an intern, and not any ordinary intern, like Haley, who's been with us. Haley came into the fold. I actually hired Haley Stasiak after she was in my class last year. And it was pretty evident to me that she was very uber talented and had a huge upside to her. And she's just taken the ball and run with it. And she's a rock star, and we've had great feedback on her. Justin, I'm not quite sure what he's all about yet, other than he's a terrific writer and he's really plugged in to what goes on at Arizona State. So I hired him. And, you know, with Eric on vacation, what do you think, Jared? Eric's on vacation every other weekend, so we needed somebody, anybody here that will decide to just show up and be on the show occasionally. I was like, well, why don't you come in here and produce? So I'm going to put you on the air for a second. I'm not quite sure how this is going to go. So, you know, it's good to see you.
Yeah, good to see you too. Thanks for having me on.
Are you going to, you know, screw this whole thing up, train wreck? You want to get right into it with ASU this weekend?
Sure, yeah.
Drop some knowledge on me.
Less time to screw up. Well, yeah, I think that line for the ASU-Oregon game is definitely pretty accurate. You mentioned the total. I think Oregon could have 55 or 60 of that.
By halftime or?
Well, I mean, third quarter at least. I think it could be a runaway game. But I also, like you said, I think it's a bit more likely that maybe ASU hangs in there, especially it being at home. I just don't know if this team, we haven't seen them put together a complete performance yet, and I just think it's unrealistic to expect that will be this week. They have a lot of holes to plug, and Caron Crump's injured. They don't have a starting receiver, or presumably won't have a starting receiver this weekend. I don't see them plugging all the holes.
Now, you say they're not going to have a starting receiver, so people know this. Justin's dropping a lot of knowledge, right? So you're at most every practice.
Yes.
Okay, so you're missing today, right?
No, there's no practice today. Because okay, so fun fact, today. The guys from the Pac-12 network are shooting the drive, so they get over, I think it's over 100 hours of footage, and then send that back to, you know, some poor man who has to edit all that. So they're doing all their sit-downs today.
Listen to me. So there's no practice today because the drive is here.
Yeah, no. Well, there's practice, but no media viewing.
No media viewing, yes. But only for the drive.
Only for the drive.
I see. Yeah. I see. But you've been out at every practice, or pretty much every practice, for the last few years. You're somebody that has been embedded. You've done work with other websites, right?
Yeah.
Like
with Devil's Digest.
Devil's Digest.
Yeah, the Rivals Network.
Okay. So, okay. Yeah. So and now you're here. You've moved into the penthouse, mm-hmm. which is fine. We're very happy to have you here. But you're out there every day. I'm curious. Because I'm not out there every day. I go to very few practices now because I don't see anything at practice that translates onto the field. And I don't get anything out of coaches other than we have to get better. And I got that. I understand that. But I have heard, not just from you, but from others, but you and I have not talked about this. Todd is coaching in practice as though he's looking over his shoulder, it seems to me when I talk to people, meaning he knows he's in trouble. Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair to say. I think I
don't think. Don't
I,
think.
I
is
would,
it, is
well,
that
would,
fair to say?
Yes. I
Thank
would,
you very I, much.
Yeah.
Don't think. That means there's a little bit of a doubt.
Well, it's fair to say because I've seen at least five or six times throughout this fall already. I think they've only been practicing for 2 months. So five or six times already I've seen him come up to reporters and, you know, ask, you know, don't report these plays. We're trying to put something new in, like yada, yada, yada.
But
and
that's
then,
fair.
And then,
I think that's fair, though, Justin. You don't
is,
think that's
well,
fair?
Well, it is fair. It is fair if they were trying to put new plays in. But you look
but
at
he's
the plays
not putting
that,
new plays
you
in.
You look at the plays that they're running, and they're jet sweeps, inside runs, bubble screens. And so you're thinking to yourself, if you're worried about a, you know, a team figuring out that you can run a bubble screen or a wide receiver screen or throw, you know, a swing pass to your halfback, I think you have other issues. And I think...
Well, okay, so let me just jump in on that. Oregon and Willie Taggart, do they care at all about sign stealing? Because Mark Helfrich cared about the sign stealing thing, and the last time I checked, he's unemployed. Okay, so their new coach, this whole sign stealing thing that's been talked about up in Oregon this week, what do you know about this, and what is... Because this is a very good Oregon team that's coming here. They're 3-0. Mm-hmm. They've just pounded teams along the way. This whole sign-stealing thing that's been under the Graham regime, is this going to be a factor on Saturday?
I don't think Willie Taggart cares about it, and I'll tell you why. I saw, I think it was Tyson Agler from the Oregonian, tweeted a quote from Willie Taggart. Somebody had asked him about that because, you know, as you mentioned, Oregon would put up the curtains you know, over their signs the past couple of years dating back to that Helfrich era. But Willie Taggart says, you know, if they steal our signs, more power to them. And I think, one, that's a kind of a good luck. And two, he expanded on that saying, you know, it does take time. So you have to steal the sign. You know, you have to be able to interpret that sign. You have to get it into a coordinator or head coach. You have to get it into the players.
All before the play goes off.
Exactly. And right. Oregon's snapping the ball every 7 or 8 seconds. So if you're trying to do that and get too fancy with trying to steal those signs, you're putting yourself at a disadvantage. You might as well align yourself and play them straight up as you would. So I think it's kind of a power move by Willie Taggart to say that. I don't think he cares at all. And I mean,
well, sign stealing last year sure didn't help. Last year they got boat raced up in Eugene.
Yeah, and exactly.
Got crushed.
Exactly. And on the sign stealing argument as a whole, if you remember the Mike Leach comments about sign stealing and kind
yeah,
of implying
and him and
that,
Todd getting into
yeah,
it.
Yeah, implying that Graham doing so was unethical. I will say that in my opinion, if your signs are so simple and predictable that they can be stolen, you know, just like that.
Sign stealing happens.
You deserve, yeah, exactly.
Happens in baseball. People get wound up about the sign stealing thing with the Red Sox and Yankees. And if you're a Red Sox fan, you get it. If you're a Yankees fan, you're pissed.
Who isn't looking for an edge?
Absolutely.
I mean, yeah, if you're.
I'm trying to figure out how to get you out of this segment. I mean, that's how it works. You know, we were all looking for edges.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if there's an old adage that goes, if you're not cheating, you're not trying. Maybe not to that degree with
some
things.
You're not cheating right now, are you?
But no, of course not. All right. But everybody's looking for an edge. Oregon won't be worried about that. And I think that is Willie Taggart's statement of saying, you know, a subtle power statement. They know they're more talented than ASU. And I think ASU, you know, somewhat knows that too. Phil Bennett, the defensive coordinator.
Well, they have to know it.
Exactly.
I mean, to get out of this. You're going to be at the game.
I will.
And you write every game.
I do.
And you can be followed every game.
Mm-hmm.
And people can crush you on Twitter every game.
They have been for the first
there you
three
go.
Games. So
you're not a loyal Sun Devil.
No, I hate the team, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. You just don't get it.
Exactly.
Don't do pitchfork up while we're sitting here talking.
Yeah, no.
That's
no
good.
Kidding.
If you ever do that, you're done with this show.
Nope, never.
So, all right, get out of here. Nice job. Justin Toscano there, part of the team. The indoctrination. I'm going to watch Washington and Colorado this weekend. There's something about Colorado, if they're true or not, if they're real or not, from last year to this year. Because some people felt Mike McIntyre should have been in trouble for some stuff that happened with the assistant coach up there. And they're not as good. But the Huskies going to Boulder, that's a tough game. I'm interested to see if U of A can do another number on Utah down in Tucson. And I don't give ASU any shot. And depending on how it goes, I'm getting to the point now, and Justin's probably the same way. If this team starts to roll on the coach, if things go great, They look, if ASU comes in and pitches a shutout, knocks down Oregon or holds them down, that would be the best win in Todd Graham's run here in the last several years. If we're being straight with each other, okay, give me the signature win of Todd Graham since the Notre Dame win. And if you're going to go that route, remember the second half of the Notre Dame game, it got out of control with Notre Dame running right down ASU's throat. They're actually somewhat lucky to win that game. If you're going to give me Jalen Strong winning against USC, that was just a kid who didn't know to knock down a ball. That's it. They got lucky. That's it. And you have to have luck in this game. So give me the last signature win. The last game where they beat a really good team and they just beat them, just flat out showed up, shut them up, walked off the field. This game's over. We win. Not did they win a game. It's against a really good team. Give me the last time they did that. This would be a huge win for Todd because he hasn't had them. And everybody's circling the wagons, expecting this to, the guillotine to come down. So with everything going on around him and the players, you know the players have been asked about this stuff. They walk out on the field and they lay an egg and get blown out. It's how do they get blown out? That's why I was somewhat impressed with them last week. I thought they hung in there. Good Eat the Movies is next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Now, because you know what's going on in the world of sports, the weekend's right around the corner. There's a lot of dog food football games, as I referred to it with Jimmy Vaccaro. But there's a lot of good movies. Maybe we'll find out now from Bill Goodikins. Good Eat the Movies. Always good to have Bill with us because he wants to talk about three movies. But more importantly, actually, I've got four movies on my sheet. But you talked to Olivia Munn. Is this you talked to Olivia Munn, and I'm just curious because I'm infatuated with her. How was she, and what is she in?
She was good. She's one of the voices in the Lego Ninjago movie, and she was funny. She was actually kind of a slow starter in this conversation, but she got going. She talked a lot about. Not specifically address Aaron Rodgers, who she used to date, but she did talk about, we got to talking about, you know, being the spotlight and your relationship in the spotlight and stuff. And she said, well, I've been with people who really weren't comfortable with that. And I don't understand it. I mean, you beg people to watch you do what you do. And then like you get mad if they ask you for an autograph. And she just kind of went on that way. But
yeah. If I ran into her in person, Bill, it would be one of those deals where I would not be able to not tell her to her face, look, you're just drop dead gorgeous. Okay. That's the way it is. And so, which is.
Well, but she seems fun too. I mean, you know, like yeah. she definitely would be fun to have a. It's a good week for interviews. I talked I told you last week to Judy Dench. I talked to her. I talked to Jake Gyllenhaal. And I just got off the phone a little bit ago with Emma Stone. So it was a lot of chatting with some good people this week.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Let's get into Lego Ninjago since you mentioned Olivia Munn. Is this just for kids? It's got to just be for kids, right?
This one kind of is. And the thing that's been great about the Lego movies so far is that they haven't just been. I remember when the first Lego movie came out, everybody thought, oh, this is just going to be a big commercial for Legos. But it turned out to be really funny. And really, you know, really funny for adults. And then the Lego Batman movie was the same thing. It was, you know, it was really good, I thought. And then this one is not as good. It's, you know, so it's just not as original, and it's not as the story. You just don't care as much about. It's, you know, this ninja. It has to do with a ninja and a bad guy who's trying to take over the world, and he's actually the ninja's dad, and. Which makes the kids suffer at school.
Okay.
It's okay. I mean, there are some funny things in it, but it's just not the standard of the first couple.
All right, let's go from Lego Ninjago then over to Kingsman. I've seen an awful lot of Kingsman trailers, a lot of pub around Kingsman. Is this any good?
Not really.
Yeah.
It's the first one I thought was pretty good, and it was just sort of wild and over the top and everything. And this one is a little bit as well, but it's just it just doesn't
they're trying too hard. And it's almost 2.5 hours long. And, you know, it's the same thing. It's pretty profane and violent, but sort of goofy violence. And it's the cast is unbelievable. I mean, it's like Jeff Bridges, Channing Tatum. I really like Mark Strong. I think he's always good. You know, Colin Firth, Halle Berry. There's a ton of Oscar winners in this thing. But it's like, man, I would. I think I read in my review, seeing their paycheck would be more entertaining than seeing the movie.
That's a good one. Okay, let's go from that then to Stronger. What is Stronger?
Stronger is a kind of movie that I did not think I would like. It was. It's about one of the guys at the Boston Marathon who got his legs blown off, and he was in a pretty famous picture, and it's about his sort of struggle to come back and how everybody made him out to be a hero. And his thing was like, why am I here? I was just standing there, you know, and he really struggles and it really shows that struggle. And it's kind of cool because, you know, you see him at the Bruins game waving the flag or, you know, during the playoffs, or you see him throwing out the Red Sox, first pitch at a Red Sox game. But the good part of the movie is what happens when the cameras turn off and he has to go home. But Jake Gyllenhaal stars, and he's fantastic. I'm sure he'll get an Oscar nomination for this. But also, just as good is Tatiana Maslany, who plays his sometime girlfriend. And she's in the show Orphan Black, and she's great, too. I really did not expect to enjoy this movie as much as I did.
Oh, it looks, it looks deep watching the trailer, obviously, with the subject matter. Is this long? I mean, when you say 2.5 hours, I'm checked out. I'm taking a nap, an hour 30.
This one's only about 2 hours. The Kingsman is 2.5.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's where you need the old 1940s movies where it's intermission. You know, it's Gone with the Wind. We're changing reels at 2:30. But this one's only two. I can handle this one. That looks pretty good, actually.
Very good. I was yesterday. And not for all the expected reasons. It's not just going to be one of those feel-good. Sometimes it's a really feel bad movie, but you know, it sort of gets that you got to do the feel bad part to get to the feel good.
Before we get you out of here, the Battle of the Sexes, you and I talked about this a little bit, but not in too much detail last week. Is this movie good?
It is. It's not quite great. But the reason it's good is that it's sort of a glitch about Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean King playing in the Battle of the Sexes in 1973. And it's sort of, you know, it's kind of glib, not glib, but it's sort of a breezy version of it. But Emma Stone and Steve Carell. Emma Stone, this is, I think, her best role. I think this is the best work that she's done. She's terrific as Billie Jean King. Steve Carell is good as Bobby Riggs, and they've got him made up to where he looks exactly like him. But Emma Stone is fantastic. And it gets all into Billie Jean King sort of exploring her sexuality some, but also her just incredible business drive. Like, she helped start the WTA, mm-hmm. and she walked away from tennis and basically took all the women with her and started their own thing. They started it for $1. And it's just, I mean, the way that they built that, I mean, she's, and one of the things, this is what I talked to Emma Stone a little bit about, is one of the things you forget about Billie Jean King is, like, you think of her as this match, you think of her as this sort of social, you know, progress kind of person. She was great. She was flat out great, and really a great athlete too. And they do a lot of that here too, because without that platform, you know, she wouldn't have been able to affect as many people.
Sure. Why isn't it great though? You said it's good, not great. Why isn't it great?
It's occasionally it's just a little too cartoonish. Like Bobby Riggs, like Carell he doesn't play it quite as a comic kind of guy, But Riggs was doing this stuff that reminded me a little bit of like what Trump was doing during the presidential campaign. It's like, these things that he's saying, these things that he's doing, truly, does he really believe this? Or is he, you know, I mean, I'd forgotten some of that too. I mean, some of the stuff that he said and he did was just outrageous. And he didn't seem like, and you know, Riggs also was a former number one. He won the U.S. Open twice. He won Wimbledon, but it was like in 1939 or something. But they make him a little too comical, a little too lovable, really. It's like they sort of want to have it both ways. But he's quite good. But I really think I'm almost certain that Stone will get another nomination for this. And, you know, if she won for La La Land, why not this? Because I think she's better in this.
Wow. All right. Well, look, have a good weekend. I appreciate you joining us. Thank you.
I'll watch the dog football games.
There you go. See, there's a lot of them. There you go. It's good at the movies. A lot of dog football games. Yeah. No, look, I just call it as I see it. I mean, if you're going to watch Rams 49ers tonight, I guess as a Cardinal fan, you can make that argument. There is no Diamondback game tonight, so I am kind of stuck. If I want to watch some sports tonight, I've got to, I guess, try to sit through that. And both teams, the 49ers, are here the following week, so I can make the argument, and I'll take one for the team. But really more interested in the college stuff this weekend, because the Cardinal game's not until Monday. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. Jared does a terrific job day in and day out. He is the Iron Man, as we like to call him. Justin Toscano showed up on the scene today, and he actually made it onto the show. We're going to have to edit after the show is over. So I'm not sure he's going to make the final version. No, we never touched it. What you see here, it's free-flowing. It is what it is. We have a lot of content up on our website. High school, college, pro, college, high school, makes no difference to us. You can read a story about a Casa Grande running back overcoming adversity on one page. And the next page, Peter King is sitting there breaking down the NFL. And the next page, Pedro Gomez is doing baseball. And the next page, it's pictures of cross-country runners here in Arizona. What is the point? It's all stuff that is Arizona-centric, okay? It's pretty easy to talk backup left tackles for the NFL. Anybody can do that. We work at it pretty darn hard every day, day in and day out. Thanks for being with us. Thanks for checking out this podcast on Sports360AZ.com, brought to you by your Valley Hyundai dealers.